Todd Grove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm reading from John chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. The Lord is speaking to Nicodemus. And he says, "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Now, how does the Lord identify himself? As the Son of Man. This was his favorite title. The Son of Man. Jesus Christ is God. He's the Creator. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Mary. He's the carpenter's son. He's the Son of David. He's the beloved Son. He's the only begotten Son. It was He who said to Moses from the bush that burned and could not be consumed, "I am that I am." He said in John 8:24, "If you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins." What a name for God. I am that I am. He is the child born. He is the Son who was given. You see, that Son was never born because He's the eternal Son. The child was born, but the Son was given. He's the one of whom it said the government is on His shoulders. He controls everything. This man who calls himself the Son of Man is the one whom the government is upon His shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb of God. He's the brightness of God's glory. Not a flickering candle, but He's the very brightness of the glory of God, the express image of God's person. He's the transcript of God. He's the Word who was with God and was God. He's the altogether lovely one. He's the Christ. He's the bridegroom. He is the Messiah. He is God's salvation. And what was His favorite title to take concerning Himself? This glorious being, this uncreated being, the only Savior of sinners. What was the name that He preferred? He called Himself the Son of Man. He called Himself the Son of Man 87 different times in the New Testament. That is significantly more than any other title given to Him. And you know, the disciples never called Him the Son of Man. They called Him Lord and Master. You know, I think it's very interesting if you look at the disciples' interaction with the Lord, not one time when they were speaking to Him did they call Him Jesus. They called Him Lord. They called Him Master. And the Lord said, "You call Me Master and Lord, and you do well, for so I am." That's who He is. It bothers me when people speak of His name in a flippant, irreverent way. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the title that He preferred was that of the Son of Man. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, It was prophesied that the Christ would be the Son of Man. Let me read this verse of Scripture to you. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, Daniel said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, the Eternal God. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him, this one who is the Son of Man, dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. So this title that he takes of him to himself 87 different times, we're told in the book of Daniel, some 450 years before the death of, before the birth of Christ, that he would be the Son of Man, the designated name for the Messiah, the Son of Man. Now, I have no doubt that this title has something to do with his perfect humanity. You know, somebody says, I'm not perfect. You're right. Neither is any man. I think it's interesting when someone says, I'm not perfect. I want to say, well, I already knew that. And if you'd say that, I would say the same thing to you. There are no perfect men as far as children of Adam. But he is the perfect man. The man with no sin. I love to think of his first 30 years of life living in obscurity. The only thing we're told about his first 30 years is his birth, and then an event that happened when he was 12 years old in Luke chapter 2, where he said to his mother and father, wish ye not that I must be about my father's business. And that's what he was doing those first 30 years. He was about his father's business, perfectly fulfilling God's holy law in every jot and tittle, the only holy man to ever live. And something that's very interesting about this is his brothers and sisters didn't get it. They had holiness living in their home, and they couldn't see it. They didn't believe him. That lets us know that we don't really understand holiness. He is the only holy man, and no one really got it as he walked in those first 30 years of obscurity. And then his 3 years of public ministry. Oh, the perfect man. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now this Son of Man is the one who suffered as a man. This Son of Man is the one who died as a man. The Son of Man is he who was raised as a man. He was not always flesh. God was manifested in the flesh, but for eternity he's the eternal Son of God. But there was a point in time when he took upon himself flesh as the man, Christ Jesus. And right now, I love thinking about this. There is a man in glory, seated at the right hand of the Father, God's darling Son, representing all of his people. Now, there's a passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 8. I want to read several verses. It talks about Christ before time began. We read beginning in verse 22, and these are the words of the Lord. He is wisdom personified in Proverbs chapter 22. He says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old, before there was a creation. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Now he is talking about his existence, his eternal existence with his Father before time began. We read in verse 29, when he gave the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights, listen to this, this is Christ speaking, even before the foundation of the world, before the creation of the universe, my delights were with the sons of men. even before the creation, He says, my delights were with the sons of men. Now I want to go back to our text in John chapter 3, verse 13. The Lord says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. While I'm talking to you on earth right now, I am in heaven. I descended down from heaven, and I am in heaven. Now, what does he mean when he says, no man hath ascended up to heaven? Well, what about Enoch? Didn't the Lord take him before he died? What about Elijah? The scripture says chariots came down and brought him back into heaven. Now, they were brought into heaven, but they didn't ascend into heaven. Only the Lord Jesus ascended back to the Father by His own power. Enoch was brought into heaven. Elijah was brought into heaven. And when you and I, if we're brought into heaven, it's going to be because we're brought into heaven. He brings us there. But the Lord ascended into heaven. Now, what must they have been thinking when He said, I came down from heaven? And I ascend, and even right now, as I'm speaking to you, I'm in heaven. If someone said that to me or you, we would think, you're deluded. You're crazy. How can you make a claim like that, that you came down from heaven, that you had existence before you were born, and you came down from heaven? And when he says the Son of Man ascends back into heaven, that's spoken of in the perfect tense, something that's already taken place. You see, with God, everything is in the present. There's no past or future with Him. He sees things as they are eternally. And the Lord Jesus Christ, while He spake from earth, was in heaven. Now in John chapter 6, in verse 31, He said things similar to this. The people who claimed to believe on Him said, our fathers did eat manna in the deserts. As it's written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Talking about the manna that came down from heaven. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now here He says again to these people, I'm the bread of God. I came down from heaven. I'm the one who gives life to the world. Well, they didn't get it. Verse 34, then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. We want bread that lasts forever so we won't get hungry anymore. We want this bread. They did not understand the Lord's speech. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. Now this is a very important verse because it tells us that coming to Christ and believing on Christ are the precise same thing. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. He that believeth on Me shall never thirst. Now what does that mean? If I ever believe on Christ, I will be completely satisfied with Him. Now, I'm not satisfied with myself, but I'm satisfied completely to be saved by Him only. I'm not looking for anything else. I'm satisfied to simply be found in Him. Now, the Lord goes on to say in verse 36, but I said unto you that you also have seen Me and believe not. And these people He's speaking to, He says, you don't believe Me. He knew what was in their hearts. But that didn't discourage Him, because He knew some would believe Him. Look what He says next in verse 37. All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. And him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, what wonderful words. 4. I came down from heaven. Here he says it again to these people. I came down from heaven. I imagine they were thinking, what in the world are you saying that for? Who do you think you are? You came down from heaven. Well, he knew exactly who he was. God the Son. He says, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. I came down from heaven not to do what I want to do, but to do the will of him that sent me. He's talking about his Father's will. And this is, now he tells us exactly what that is. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now here he tells us in no uncertain terms what God's will for him to do was. It was to save everyone the Father gave him, to save all the elect. Now when our Lord came here, his intention was this: thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His intention was to save the elect. He said, this is why the Father sent me, and I'm going to do it. I've done it. I'm going to raise them all up at the last day. And then he says in verse 40, and this is a part of this will of the Father which has sent me, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now notice the order. First he said, the Father sent me to save the elect. And then he said, here's the Father's will, that everyone that sees the Son and believes on him. And notice the order. You won't believe until you see who he is. And if you and I ever see who he is, we will believe. We won't be able to do anything else but believe if we ever see who he is. That's the issue. What most folks' problems are that are religious is they've never really seen who the Lord is. That's why they believe, have such high views of themselves, because they've never seen who the Lord is. But if you ever see who he is, you will believe on him, and you'll have everlasting life, and you'll be raised by Christ on that last day. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? This is what they were stuck at. How could he say, I came down from heaven? Now, back to our text. He takes it even farther. In John chapter 3, verse 13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, there's his title, which is in heaven. Now, what an amazing statement. He says, while I'm talking to you, I am in heaven right now. Now, there is a place called heaven. It's the place where God dwells. It's the place where the holy angels are. It's a place for everyone who's died. It's the place where everyone who's died in Christ is. A place of indescribable bliss and joy. Now, I don't know much about heaven, but I know he's there. And that's what heaven is beholding his glory, being with him. Now, he said, while I'm speaking to you here on earth, I am in heaven. Now, what do you think they thought about that? While he had all the limitations of being a man, with the exception of the commission of sin, he never lost any of the attributes of God. Colossians 2:9 says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. And included in that is omnipresence. He is not bound by space. He's not bound by time. He is omnipresent. Somebody says, how can a body here on earth be omnipresent? I have no idea. But he is. But there's so much I can say. How could God lift my sin off of me and put it on Christ for him to bear it and put it away? I don't know how he did it, but he did. How could the God-man die? I don't know, but he did. How could the God-man raise himself from the earth? I don't know, but he did. How could God be one God and three distinct persons? I don't know, but he is. You see, we believe what he says. And he says, I am in heaven as I speak. Now, I do not understand how Christ could be standing upon the planet Earth at a particular longitude and latitude, an exact point, and yet be in heaven at the same time. But he is. He's the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I repeat, this glorious one who came down from heaven, and even while he was speaking was in heaven, his favorite title was the Son of Man. Now, I want to read a number of scriptures to close this message. I'm going to comment very little on them, but I want you to think about them. Matthew 8:20, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. The creator of the universe had no personal property. He had no place to lay his head. When I hear these health wealth preachers, I just think, oh, that is so offensive. It's offensive to the Son of God. He had no place to lay his head. Matthew 9:6 says that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Now, the only one who can forgive sins is God. The Son of Man is God. And he has all authority to forgive sins. Whether or not my sins or your sins are forgiven is in his hand. It's up to him. Matthew 11:19 says the Son of Man came eating and drinking, a man among men. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous, a wine bibber, the friend of publicans and sinners. Now, that was their slam against it. They saw him eating and drinking. They said, he's a glutton. He's a drunk. Why, he's the friend of publicans and sinners. Aren't you glad he is? There wouldn't be any hope for me or you if he wasn't. Matthew 12:8 says, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. The Son of Man's Lord. He's Lord of creation. He created the universe. He's Lord of providence. Everything that's taking place right now, he is the first cause of everything. He's Lord of salvation. If you're saved, it's because he saved you. It was his purpose. He did it all. And he's Lord even of the Sabbath. Matthew 12:40, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He died, and he spent 3 days dead, having accomplished the salvation of his people. Matthew 13:37 says that he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. If you hear the gospel in the power of his Spirit, here's why. The Son of Man sowed that seed into your heart. Matthew 13:41 says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Now, we don't shine as the sun now, but we will in the kingdom of our Father. Matthew 18:11 says, the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. And Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost? Are you lost? The Son of Man has come to save you. That's his promise. Matthew 20:28 says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 24:27 says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. When he returns, everybody will know who he is. Matthew 25:31 says, when the Son of Man cometh in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. We read in Matthew 26:24, where the Lord says, "Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, in absolute sovereign control." I love this scripture. Luke 9:36. "The Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them." He didn't come to condemn men, but to save them. Men are already condemned. Luke 18:9 says, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" I sure hope so. I hope he finds me believing. Luke 22:48, "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" I love this. The angel said in Romans, in Luke 24:6-7, "Remember how he spake to you in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men." Well, who delivered him? Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's who delivered him. He was no victim. This was all part of his glorious purpose. "For the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Now, why was there a necessity to this? Because God purposed it. That's why. That's why he must be delivered. Because God's just and he bore the sins of his people, and God must punish sin. That's why Christ died. It was the justice of God that killed him. Why must he be risen from the dead? Because justice was satisfied. Because God loved the people Christ died for, and he's going to have them with him eternally in heaven. John 3:14 says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life." That those people that were bitten in the wilderness by the fiery snakes, God told Moses to make a serpent like them, set it on a pole, and anybody who looked lived. If you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will live. He said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and beside me is none else." Now, what a name for the Savior, the Son of God. His favorite name, because he loved men. The Son of Man. Now, we have this message on CD and DVD. If you call the church or write or look at our website, you can get the copy there. This is Todd Niebuhr praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.niebuhr@gmail.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.